This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 reads this way. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people to open your word and to worship you and to hear from you even this morning. And so, Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. And if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them and allow them to understand and to see their need of you as their personal Savior. Again, bless this morning, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "What Shall I Do to Inherit Eternal Life?" What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And if you're a believer, you know that the question is not the right question to ask, really. It's what shall I do to receive eternal life? Because there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. And so we need to be mindful of that. And we also need to be mindful that there is the Lord is working, His Holy Spirit is working, but then there's also an opposition to the work of the Spirit, and that is the work of the flesh, the work of the world, and the work of the devil himself, who would try to overthrow and keep people in darkness from believing the truth. And boy, oh boy, is the darkness ever getting darker, and is there more out there today than ever before? And so we need to be mindful as believers concerning the darkness of this world. In fact, the world, that ought to give you an indication. If the world is going to define to you what the Word of God is, unless they accidentally got it right, I will tell you they missed it. Amen? It wasn't too long ago that they were talking about, they made some kind of a documentary I think it was on the History Channel. That'll give you a good indicator. You're headed on dangerous ground when they start telling you about Noah, start telling you about the flood, and start telling you about all these things, because that's coming from the world. That's world entertaining world, and that is the devil using that to keep people in darkness. Not too long ago, they had a 45-minute expose on Judas on how he was in heaven today. Well, that's just simply not what the Bible teaches. Amen? He's in hell today. He rejected and betrayed our Savior, and it happened just exactly as the Lord said it was going to happen. So it would behoove the believer to go to the Word of God so that we don't find confusion by the world trying to tell us what the Bible, what the Word of God is telling us, that only the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer can really give understanding to the believer. So let's not look to the world that has things all confused. The devil has seemed to put out his counterfeits, has he not? There's a lot of churches out there that said that Jesus Christ is not the only way to eternal life. Well, that would make our Savior a liar, because he said there is no other way. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life, and that's it. There's no other way to slice that. And so we either believe that or we don't. By the way, listen, God is the same. Aren't you glad? Yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So we're not looking for some new doctrine. We're just looking for understanding, more understanding, concerning the infinite wisdom and grace that's already been given to the life of every believer. Now, I do want you to contemplate this. God is wanting us to grow in His grace. Paul has said, I've learned therewith, and whatsoever state I'm in therewith, to be content. Didn't Paul say that? So he learned it. That's something that he didn't know that he learned. When people want to contemplate taking a musical instrument, we'll just use that for an example, piano or whatever it might be, violin, and they're starting out, there's a question that seems to pop into every student's mind when they take their first lesson. Do you know what that might be to their teacher? How long will it take me to get as good as you? How long will it take me? I want to mark off the days to where I can play like you can play, right? Or how long will it take me to learn how to play songs, whatever it might be? How long will it take me to get to this level? Well, that is completely relative, and it's all stipulated by concerning, really, how much we're exercised thereby. So likewise also, in our walk with the Lord, it's contingent on how well we are exercised by the truths of God's Word. You can take lessons all day long, but if you don't practice, where are you going to be in a year from now? Well, in the same place you started with, without any practice. You might have a little bit of an understanding, a little bit of knowledge of the parts of the piano and what the keys are and where the sharps are and where the, you know, and understand a little bit about music, but you're not going to make a whole lot of headway if you don't practice, or if you're not exercised thereby, or if you're not planning on moving forward and being determined on learning how to play the piano. Now, one guy made a video, and he did a time lapse. It wasn't an audio type video, but he just wrote on there, time lapse of 1 year learning how to play the piano. But this man practiced, and he showed you, he just kind of went through the whole year in about 10 minutes, and my goodness, at the end of the year, he was playing like you would not believe, but he also practiced. Do you see the difference? If he didn't practice, if he wasn't exercised or determined to move forward in the idea of learning how to play the piano, he would have never accomplished anything. Likewise, the child of God, if they have no plans to move forward in their walk with the Lord, guess where we'll be 1 year from today? Without any plans, we're going to hit that mark. We're going to hit that bullseye. Amen? Nothing is what we'll accomplish in our walk with the Lord unless we are determined, Lord. And by the way, when it comes to walking as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God does all the work for us. All we have to be is a willing participant to follow Him. And He says, I'm going to show you the way. I'll show you the way to victory. I'll show you the way to peace. Was He trying to do that in the life of the believers during His earthly ministry? Did He tell them at different times, O ye of little faith? Well, He was trying to teach them not to lean to the natural realm, but to more trusting in God and His provisions for them. And so likewise, God is still wanting to do that for all of his believers, getting us to exchange our lives, not change them, I'm going to change for God. No, God wants to exchange his life for ours. God wants his power, not ours, in our life. So you might encounter a trial in life. And in fact, if you've been a believer for any length of time, you already have, haven't you? And praise God for his faithfulness, because that's the reason why we're all here today. So let me share an important thought with you. The believers, when they were in the boat with the Lord, and a great storm kicked up, so much so that they feared for their lives. These are fishermen that are used to being on the water. They found the Lord in the back of the boat. Where? What was he doing? Was he worried? He wasn't worried. And he was wanting them not to worry as well. And so, is the promise of God that he will never leave us nor forsake us? Is that his promise? We have to learn that. We have to learn that. And so the disciples got all worried, and the Lord got up and calmed the ocean, right? Calmed the sea. And they all said to each other, man, what manner of man is this? They were still learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are still learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you think any one of those disciples ever forgot that? Likewise, God is doing things. He's allowing storms in our lives that we might see his faithfulness in the midst of those storms, and we can truly believe and rest. Listen, Lord, and by the way, listen, God made us emotional beings. When things don't go our way, that's natural, that's normal. But then at the same time, he wants us to say, but I know you hold me in your hand. Lord, strengthen the faith that you've given to me to trust you, that I'm still in your hand. I don't feel like it right now, Lord, but I want to trust you. You know, God understands that. That's faith. That's you saying, Lord, I'm weak. I need your strength. Isn't that what that's saying? Lord, my eyes and my emotions and what I'm feeling right now, my world is up. The storm is whipping and blowing and taking me off course in my heart and in my mind. And so, Lord, right now I need you to still my heart that I might know that I'm still in your hands, and that you're in control, and that's important for the believer. Now, here's a crazy thing. You know the Lord loves everybody. Let me try that again. You know the Lord loves everybody. Amen? Amen? How do we know that? Well, God sent his son for everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, even those who are obstinate and self-righteous, and even those that need to be corrected and redirected and pointed in the right direction. I want you to hold your place here, because this is really where our sermon's at. And you don't have to turn here if you don't want to, but I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 6 just for a moment here. And I want to share with you 7 things that God calls an abomination to himself. That means it is putrefying to him. It is so detestable that it nauseates God himself. So this is important for us to consider these 7 things. Verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 6 says this: these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. These 7 are an abomination to him. A proud look is an abomination unto the Lord. A lying tongue is an abomination unto the Lord. Hands that shed innocent blood is an abomination unto the Lord. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations is an abomination unto the Lord. Feet that be swift in running to mischief are an abomination unto the Lord. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren, all these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And that's what we are prone to if we walk in the natural realm. We are prone to do that. Doesn't mean we don't have to do that, but we do need to know this. We have to determine and say, God, that's not what I want in my life. I need you, Lord, that might not be in my life. Now, does the Lord, let's go back to our text. It's important to know these things, because as we consider our text in Luke chapter 10 here this morning, this lawyer was proud. This lawyer was educated. And by the way, he was educated in the law of the Word of God. This lawyer handled and held, listen, the truth. He wasn't holding a lie. He wasn't holding another gospel or another Bible or another Word of God. He was holding the Word of God. Now, why is that so important? Well, because we can understand when people believe a Bible that's not a Bible at all. Now, I'm not here to trying to pick on any particular groups that call themselves people of God, but there is a group specifically that have their own translation, and they don't say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They said that he's not God, he's a God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then it talked about in John chapter 1 how God dwelt among them, and they lowercase that G instead of capitalized. And so they say, well, Jesus Christ is not really God. Well, that's blasphemous. And what I'm trying to say is this lawyer didn't hold the scripture, corrupted, perverted scriptures like that. He was holding the truth. Now, why is that so significant? Because you and I also hold the truth. And we need to be careful and take heed how we stand, lest we're falling, lest we're failing the Lord. Listen, here's an amazing thought. You and I have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation. You have all the power you need in your life to glorify the name of God. Now, we can't do that in ourselves, but we've been indwelt with that potential by the grace and working of the Spirit of God in us, that God could live his life in and through us. But we have to be willing to believe what God is saying, understand it, and walk in that truth, and ask him to bless that in your life and mine. Now, mercy is one of the greatest attributes, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness. Mercy is one of the greatest attributes of God. If not, none of us would be here today. Amen. So mercy is one of the greatest attributes that God has given to mankind. In fact, the Bible says in the Old Testament that God rathers us to have mercy more than anything else. And so it's important to do that. God is going to show us this mercy here. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ right here knows where this lawyer's all at. He knows before he even approached the Lord, he already knew everything that there was to know about this guy. But he was concerned with mercy for this man to redirect him and point him in the right direction. So I want you to take notice here as we consider verse 25. The formality of the truth, not a truth, the truth, a formality of the truth. Then we're going to look at a revelation of the truth, and then we're going to see a clear picture of the truth. So the first thought here is a formality of the truth, and we find that here in our text that we read just a moment ago, but let's read it again to get this idea. Notice verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. He was trying to trick him. He was not honest. He was being deceptive in his heart. He was trying to prove himself right and Jesus wrong. That was his whole motive. He was going to try to show up God. There's one thing you can't do. Listen, there are people that think they're so smart, right? The smartest fools that ever lived will stand before the Lord one day and confess him as Lord and Savior, but only to their own demise. And that's not what God wants. Now listen, we have the privilege and the obligation to share that God is the only way. Whether they receive it, whether they think they're too smart to receive it, that's between them and God. But we have an obligation to our God because of what he's given to us to say in all true Christian love, you're wrong. You're wrong. And just because you haven't seen it and just because you haven't experienced it, listen, can any one of those disciples that were on the boat with the Lord deny that the Lord didn't calm the waves? Now, they could tell that story and other people could say, well, I don't believe it because I didn't see it. It doesn't mean it's not true and that it didn't happen. And just because you don't understand creation and you want to believe in a lie called evolution, and that's exactly what it is. It's the devil's lie. There are adaptations, but that's not evolution. What I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about, see, we play games, microevolution, that's adaptation. But I'm talking about one kind changing from one thing to something completely different. That's non-existent. There is, listen, you cannot, how come we haven't dug up a fossil of something changing from a cat to a dog, half dog and half cat? Because God said everything after its own kind. So you'll never find that. You could want to believe that. Oh, one day we'll find it. No, you won't. You just think you will. Now, I'm not talking about some, you know, animals getting a heavier coat in the winter and some adaptations, but they're still the same thing. They've not changed from one kind to another kind. And so the world thinks it's so smart to reject God. It's exactly what they're doing. And so they're missing God. Now, that's one extreme, but this fellow right here, he professed to hold the truth. He even knew the Bible, did he not? So watch what happens here, and I want you to see the grace of God. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now this is amazing. When you stop and think about this, the Lord could have said, well, you're wrong already to start off with. But since he went in that direction, listen, the Lord takes the long route around to head us off at the pass. He doesn't just jerk the reins and make us make an abrupt left turn. He's saying, follow me and I'll show you the way. And since you're asking this question, let me answer it according to the word of God that you profess to hold and know in your hand. So notice this again. He says, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? Listen to this. How readest thou? That's important. It's not necessarily how God is saying it. He's saying, how do you see it? How do you see it? How do you see it? Well, I can be good enough to get to heaven is what some people say. Here's what they neglect to read or misunderstand, and that is that the Word of God says that our righteousness, the good that we think that we're doing, we do bad and we do good, and we know the bad is wrong. And how many of you have heard people say, well, God's going to weigh out my good and my bad, and if there's more good than bad, I get to go to heaven. Have you ever heard that? More people believe that than anything else. Even the so-called non-religious people. But I want you to know what the Word of God, they've not read the Scriptures to believe that, because the Bible says that even our righteousness throw it all on the bad side. See, that's why Jesus came to give us his righteousness, because we have none. Even the righteousness that we think we can do is unacceptable in the sight of God. Jesus said to his disciples, do you know that many are going to come to me in that day, judgment day, and say unto me, Lord, Lord, don't you know who we are? I mean, we preached the word of God. Preached the word of God. We've prophesied. We've done many good things. And he says at the end of it all, I will profess unto them, I'm going to say unto them, I never knew you. Listen, they were touting all the good things that they did for God. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. All of it's sin. All that good stuff you thought you had, you've trampled the blood of Christ underfoot. To think that you can bypass that, you've missed it. See, because they were looking to how great they thought they were. And how God was so pleased, going to be so pleased with what they were doing, and they missed the Lord. So this man is right there, and so the Lord says, how do you read? How do you read this? Now watch this. So he answers him, verse 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, here's the truth. Ready? In the natural realm, we will never do that. And that's the answer he gave to the Lord. What's the answer to this lawyer from the Lord? Well, he says this in verse 28. And he said unto him, listen, thou hast answered right. He did. he understood incorrectly. But he answered right. That's scripture. All right, so what does the Lord say? This do and thou shalt live. This do and thou shalt live. Do you see the problem in that? We can't do it. And that man should have come to it already. But listen again, the Lord being merciful to this man, whose sole purpose was to tempt the Lord, to dishonor him, to make him look the fool, and God lays himself open before this man to help him. That's the mercy of God. He could have looked at him and said, you know, your heart is all wrong, and you're not even worth my time. But that's not our God. Listen, do you know that everybody in this room is worth God's time? Do you know that everybody in this room, in fact, everybody in the world, God wants to save if they'll come to him? God wants to bless us if we'll come to him. God wants to empower our life if we'll come to him. God wants to bring fulfillment and contentment and joy in our lives. But we've got to come to him. We're not going to manufacture that on ourselves. The devil would have us to believe that. The world would have us to believe. I mean, they've got all kinds of slogans that's been out for many years. You know what will make it your way? Better. You know what will make life happy in your life? Have it your way. How about this one? You deserve God's condemnation is what we deserve. But you deserve a break today. You remember all these? And they're still out there. Commercials, I know they're trying to sell you stuff, but they're using lies. Deception. Because here's what they're saying. Once you get this, you've got it all. And that's not true without Christ. Without salvation, all we have is a mere existence. We have how would you say, just a picture of an existence, really. No fulfillment, nothing to look forward to. So he tells this man, he says, you answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But listen, and again, the Lord already knew what he was going to do. Verse 29, and it tells us here, the Holy Spirit is revealing his heart for us, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Don't you, can you pick up the spirit there? Ha, gotcha now. He doesn't even know he just sunk his own ship. He thinks he got the Lord. You know what the Lord said? Time to do surgery. Time to do spiritual surgery on man's corrupt, broken heart that defies God. Time to work and give this man an opportunity to see himself as God sees him. That's our problem. Do you know that? We don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We see ourselves as the way we would like everybody to see us. But we cannot see ourselves unless God opens up our eyes to see how poor, wretched, naked, and destitute we are. We don't like that. The self-flesh does not like it one bit. Tell the world that. You are blind, are they not? I was blind. Spiritually, naked, destitute, and filthy rags. That was me. Now, you'd have told me that in my flesh, and I'd have said, what? Who do you think you are? You don't look any different than me. Oh, what are you, holier than thou? That's what my flesh would have spewed out until God showed me. Yep. Until God did the work. And I went, oh, no. But oh, yes, that God took my place. I understood it all just like that. Isn't that how salvation happens? The light bulb turns on and we run to Jesus because there's nowhere else to go. So he's willing to justify himself. So let's look at this. A revelation of the truth. God is going to reveal who his neighbor is, and is this man going to like it? Not one bit. But it's going to be the truth. And this is going to be a hard pill for the flesh and the natural man to swallow. So what happens here? verse 30. And Jesus, remember he said, who is my neighbor? Remember, that he asked that question. And so Jesus, you asked this question. See, listen, you don't get the upper hand on God ever. Ever. How can you get anything on God who knows everything and has already been there and knows what we need? And here's the mind-blowing part, that his mercy granted it to this man. Question, is Jesus trying to tempt this man and put this man in his place, or is he trying to open up his understanding that he might know the truth and have eternal life? Because my God and your God is not willing that any should perish, not even this man. Not even the person that's sitting in your seat. Does he want to miss out on all the blessings of God? So watch this. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this was a frequented thing. And fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This is not something that hadn't happened before. This man understood how this is. In fact, people have died making this trek. So this was something that was familiar. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. Now listen, they're the ones that minister the word of God. They're the ones that are supposed to be walking with the Lord. They're the ones that are supposed to be going out of their way to help other people. But in this particular case, he's preaching the truth. The priest looked down on the common person. You need to come for me. I'm closer to God than you. And they looked down. This is where it's come to. This lawyer was looking down on the master of all creation. So, a certain priest, verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Do you think that's ever happened before? Do you think people have ever caught glimpse of that happening? I can't deal with this right now. You think in our day and age, in New York City, when crime's going down and there are witnesses who don't speak up and say something, do you think people have seen that happen before? And so here's this take. And by the way, probably even in our little city here. So he tells him, pass by on the other side. This man is completely understanding what the Lord is saying and probably saying, I've seen that. And likewise, a Levite. Well, my goodness, the Levitical priesthood. When he was at the place, came and looked on him. You got close. You could have touched him. And looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, one of them. They're the lowest of the low. This lawyer thought he was better than a half Jew and half Gentile. There's no doubt about it. History records for us during that time that the Jewish people went around Samaria. They did not go through it. Because they wouldn't, in their minds, they would defile themselves to walk on their dirt. Is that thinking a little bit more of myself because I won't walk where somebody has walked? That I'm too good for that? So, what is that? Pride. Wasn't that one of those things that God says was an abomination to him? And we spew of it. We really do. We'd like to think we don't. But we really do without the Lord. And so, but he says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, verse 33, came where he was. And when he saw him, notice this, he had compassion on him. Now, this is important because if it were a Samaritan, no Jew would have compassion on a Samaritan if they were beat up. They would probably say, they deserve it. Don't say if you ever said this. Something bad happens and say, oh, God got them pretty good, didn't they? Didn't he? God got them. God got them. Well, is that really how the Lord works? God got them. Is God out to get people? No, he's out to redeem them. So we consider this, we find that this Samaritan has compassion on him, verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. You know, spiritually speaking, that's exactly what the Lord's doing to this lawyer. This lawyer is so beat up with pride, he doesn't even know it. This lawyer is so consumed with himself and full of himself, he can't even see it. And on the morrow, my goodness, you mean this is a two-day thing? And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Wow. Wow. You know, that's how the Lord works. Whatever you need, I'll take care of it. It's on me. Purchased on the cross of Calvary. How much? All my blood and my whole life for you. For yours. Now we come to this place here. Here's a revelation of the truth. That lawyer thought he had a formality of the truth, but this is the truth here that he's confronted. He's confronted the truth, and the truth is saying to him. Amen. Verse 36, which now, are you ready to answer the question now? I've given you a good illustration. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now you got to love this. Because now we have a clear picture of the truth. And the lawyer, I think, saw his own self-portrait there. He saw himself, no doubt, as the priest and the Levite. Because that's how he would have responded. He's got to deal with that now. So what does he do? Praise God. Listen to this. Verse 37. He answers and he said, he that showed mercy on him. That's a major breakthrough. He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, wow, go and do thou likewise. You know what he's saying? Follow me. Don't walk according to the way that you think. Because that's what he was doing. And the mercy of God told him, you do the same. You walk this way, not the way that you thought when you approached me. Not the way you thought when you tempted me. Not the way you thought when you wanted to justify yourself, now that you can see you're undone. God did that work. He's the only one that can do it in your life. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, but if the Spirit doesn't work, nothing happens. Nothing happens. I know that. There's nothing that you can do to save anybody unless God opens up their understanding. And here's the crazy thing. God wants to use all of us that are saved to open up the hearts and minds of those who are perishing. What's the problem? We got too many things in our hands. We're too busy. Maybe even with good things. And have left God out of the picture. Or very little. I'm not rebuking you. I hope and pray that you have your time with the Lord and His Word every day. Your time that you talk to the Lord every day. I hope that's you. But as I look around at God's people, I don't see the light, do you? Of God. I didn't say I didn't see good things happening, people doing nice things and good things. But do we see God working? Do we see God working as He wants to work? And so we have to be honest with ourselves. Is God's will being fulfilled in the preacher's life? That will do you no good. Won't do you a bit of good. In your neighbor's life? Or in your own life? Is God's work taking place in your own life? Do you see the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you see the mercy of God towards others in your life? Do you see yourself as a condemned sinner who's been saved by the grace of God and privileged of allowing God's grace to touch the lives of others through your life? Are we seeing God at work? See, there's a big difference, isn't there? I'm not a bad person. I'm just busy about my life. Well, God gave us His. Where is that? Tucked away somewhere for Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. I wonder how much of that is even going on today in God's churches, His body. What have we put in front of Him? Oh, you don't understand, Brother George. It's not me that you're going to stand before. I believe every word you want me to believe if you want to. But what does God see? Where are we at in our walk with the Lord? And are we even a little bit embarrassed to say, you know what, I'm not where I once was. I'm not really walking with the Lord. I'm too filled up with what's going on in my life. Isn't that the phraseology today? You don't know what's going on in my life. It doesn't sound like it's the Lord. Because He's in the business of changing our focus. How do you see it? How do you see it? Is it just all about me? Or is it all about the Lord who saved me? We're going to enter into an opportunity that God invites us to. Right there where you stand, you don't do whatever you want. But if God can't help you to see that you need to draw nearer to Him, don't do it for me. Do it for your Savior who died and bled on the cross for your life. Because He's coming again. Amen? Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne this morning. We thank You for Your word and Your work that You desire to do in our lives, and the invitation that You even give to us, even this morning, to call upon You and to allow You to answer us and to show us great and mighty things that You want to do in and through us for Your honor and glory. Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may You help them to understand it's Your righteousness, not ours, that makes a difference. Same goes for us that know You as Savior. It's Yours, Your righteousness, Lord, not ours. Speak to us, Lord. Do a work in our hearts and minds. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.